A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app. And now, it's time for a Deep South legend that's been keeping it real here in Atlanta for over two decades. It's the Buck Belue Show, only on The Fan.
To you. Hello there. How's it going? Heath Klein in for Buck Belue today. Glad that you could be hanging with me. We got a lot to talk about, a short time to do it, so make sure we get cooking quick. Thanks to the guys in the locker room right after us. Of course, it is Chiellini and Domino, and then we got Braves today. Braves in action trying to get that sweep against the Astros. We'll have the four leadoff show coming your way at 12:55. You know, sometimes you go into a day, you think, okay, I have a pretty good feel for what I want to talk about. And then all of a sudden, boom, things change. And this morning, ESPN press send on an article that kind of shook things up. So let's get into the big take.
Bucks big take.
The folks at ESPN, every maybe feels like 2 months or so, they'll have this really long reported article that's a big look at something, whether it's, oh, you know, this is why Roger Goodell did this, or this is how Jerry Jones got away with this. And they'll have these big, long pieces that really have a ton of reporting. In fact, in this case, it's a piece that has three different reporters that worked on it, including the two in Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta, who are their best national investigative reporters, and then one of their insiders, too. So what got the treatment today, and why should you care, is the Falcons. And how in the world did Bill Belichick not get a job with somebody, and especially since the Falcons were the one team that really got seriously interested with him, why not the Falcons' job? It's a long article, and I don't know if you're going to want to take the time to read it or not, so I will give you the key points of the article. One, Belichick thought he had the Falcons' gig, thought he was going to get it, and thought he was going to get it literally the morning that the Falcons wound up hiring Raheem Morris. He thought he had nailed the interviews, and he's Bill Belichick, so he's going to get the job. Meanwhile, the Falcons apparently not only did not see it that way, they didn't come close to seeing it that way. According to the story, when Arthur Blank took a vote, no Falcons executive had Belichick in their top three, not one. And that apparently is including Blank based on the way the story is written. Meanwhile, according to the story, at the beginning of the process, Arthur Blank was really into the idea of Bill Belichick, but that Robert Kraft told him not to trust Belichick. Story certainly presents it as that once it became possible that Belichick was, in fact, the direction things were going, that Arthur Blank talked with a guy he is very close to, and Robert Kraft. And then Kraft just gave him the no. Now, meanwhile, publicly, of course, Kraft is saying, no, that's not, you know, through his spokespeople. No, we never said anything bad. My favorite part of this is there is an actual comment from the spokesperson who is saying, well, he never said anything bad about him in the two conversations that he had with Arthur Blank about the job. But it is possible he might have said something before that. Oh, it's possible he might have said something bad sometime, but it wouldn't have been in those two conversations. Sure. Okay. It's also reported that one of the things that was an issue was that, and I'm quoting directly from the article here, you'll never have a warm conversation with Bill Belichick. That Arthur Blank likes more of a family vibe, and you'll never have a warm conversation. The only thing that is specifically mentioned as to something that Belichick objected to with the Falcons, or if that's maybe not the right term, had concerns about, is that Belichick asked, why are there no incentives to work out at the Falcons facility for team building? Said in New England, this was something that they did for team building purposes. We want to have the guys working out at the facility, building chemistry together as a team and around. And so we had incentive bonuses for them to do that. Why do you guys not do that? And at least according to the article, he was just told it's something they have never done. Honestly, I'm with Belichick on this one. That seems like a pretty good idea to try and have guys around the facility more. Just because if they're at the facility more, there's more, not just chemistry and team building, just more ability to kind of know where they are. You know, if a guy is not there, then you might know, hey, there's a chance this guy's doing his own thing. Maybe he's not focused as much. Maybe he's not in great shape. Feels like Belichick's right on this one. But those to me were the five key points from the article. If you don't feel like chewing on the whole thing, but there's a lot of stuff in there that you will probably be interested in if you are a Falcon fan. The closest name apparently to Raheem Morris for the job turned out to be Mike McDonald, followed by Bobby Slowick, according to the reporting. Slowick, of course, did not wind up taking a job this year as a head coach, and McDonald got the job with the Seahawks. But for future reference, just you never know, down the line, there might be a time where Falcons are looking for a coach again, and one of those guys is available. Apparently, those were guys who made better impressions in the mind of the Falcons brain trust than Bill Belichick. I don't think many people here were all that disappointed when Bill Belichick did not get this job. And that's the part I find funny about this piece, is that the piece, these are guys who do serious investigative reporting about the National Football League on a regular basis. And the piece comes at it from the perspective of basically how could Bill Belichick not get a job? We have to investigate how Bill Belichick would not get a job. And you kind of want to say, hey, guys, Did you watch the Patriots the last couple of years? Did you see what that looked like on the field? We don't need Columbo on this one. We can solve this one ourselves. You don't need a team of investigative reporters to know that the team he put on the field looked like crap. Does Belichick know how to strategize? Without question, anybody in the NFL, even somebody who despises that guy, I think still believes that he could go out there and in any given day out X and O the entire league. But that's not the only part of the job. And whether it was the Falcons or anybody else, people simply did not believe that in his 70s, Bill Belichick, even if he said it, maybe even if he meant it at the time, was going to be able to come into an organization and not demand that everything be done his way. Beyond that, he's in his 70s. How come there's no investigation on why Pete Carroll didn't get a job? Pete Carroll's a pretty good coach. Pete Carroll won a Super Bowl. Pete Carroll comes off pretty young, pretty energetic. No need for an investigation on how Pete Carroll didn't get a job? Again, he's considered too old to be somebody that you're going to start over with a head coach. Not for the Falcons, not for anybody. Belichick is brilliant, and someone may give him a shot, but it's not hard to understand, particularly a dude who's been especially stuck in his ways, why teams just didn't believe that a guy who apparently, again, according to this ESPN piece that published this morning, intended to bring in exactly who you'd think he would bring in. So if you're Arthur Blank, and you're looking at a guy who needs to win 15 games to get the record for the NFL, so he has a super high incentive to coach 2 to 3 more years, and he'd like to win some games, not just for the record, but also to kind of stick it to the crafts a little bit. But you know that his plan to do that is to get the old band back together. All these people who have shown they can't be head coaches anywhere else. They can't be effective. So apparently, according to the article, Patricia's coming here. Joe Judge is coming here. Josh McDaniels is coming here. Jack Easterby would have been coming here. And boy, oh boy, talk to a Houston Texans person about the Jack Easterby experience and see what they'd tell you about the wisdom of letting that person in your building. If that's the price, that he's going to bring in all those guys and try and just reconstitute the old way of doing things, why in the world would you believe, oh, but he'll be real collaborative with Terry Fontenot, though. He'll be fine with that. Sure he will. I don't understand the notion that this needed an investigation. He's shown who he is, and what he did was brilliant for a bunch of years in a particular setting and time and place. But that is not what he's getting into with any team now, and especially for a Falcons organization that just – that's not how Arthur Blank rolls. It hasn't been. It's clearly not going to be. And are you going to blow up your whole organization for a guy who might be at best 3 to 5 years, probably more like three? And then what? Well, you're going to hand it off to one of those guys? That sounds like a great plan. Hey, maybe Josh McDaniels the third time around is a charm school graduate. So, again, it's an interesting piece. I would encourage you, if you're a Falcon fan, read the piece. You'll like it. But if not, don't feel like you have to, because in the end, it's looking for a mystery that's just not that hard to solve as to why and how it played out like it did. But it does drive home for the Falcons how different things would be if Belichick was here. Can you imagine the amount of scrutiny the Falcons would be getting? Right now, the Falcons in the mock drafts, everybody's picking the same guy to them every single time. Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner, Dallas Turner. No one's talking about other things they might do. No one's talking about the brilliant moves they might make. Just, yeah, the Falcons will take a defensive guy. Let's get back to talking about the quarterbacks. If Belichick was here, you know they'd be talking about what's he going to do every day. Falcons would be on the news, on ESPN, on those yelling shows all the time, speculating about, oh, what kind of brilliance Bill Belichick might do in the draft, ignoring, of course, the fact he's been absolutely rancid at drafting for the last decade. But there'd be a ton of that. Instead, yeah, Falcons kind of blend in with the woodwork, kind of low-key right now. I'm not sure that bothers them. I'm not sure they really wanted the organization to suddenly have, for the next 2 to 3 years, what's Bill doing? What's Bill up to? Can the hoodie make it happen? I don't think that's what they were looking for at all. There you go. There's the big take for this morning. Braves fans from all over Georgia, now you can participate in and win the Atlanta Braves Foundation 50-50 raffle presented by Harris Cherokee Casinos. For the first time ever, jackpots are going to be open during Braves home and road series games throughout the season and open to fans both at Truist Park and listening anywhere in Georgia. Raffles will conclude with one lucky winner taking home 50% of the total jackpot and the remaining 50% to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. You can enter in person at Truist Park or online. Online entrance must be physically located in the state of Georgia at the time of entry. For complete rules and details and to purchase your 50-50 raffle tickets online, go to Braves.com/50-50 or visit the MLB Ballpark app while you are in Georgia. So, again, Braves get the win yesterday, 6-2 over the Astros, now up on the Phillies by 2 games, 11-5 so far on the season. But, of course, the big story out of yesterday, the word coming down about Ozzie Albies, the broken toe, not what anybody wanted to hear there, but Braves last night, just kind of keep it rolling. We will get into some of what's going on with the Braves and one particular signing that I think maybe was underrated at the time that people are loving right now. That is coming up right here on 6A The Fan and 93.7 FM.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Buck Ballou today hanging out with you. Buck will be back tomorrow, but I appreciate you giving me some time this morning. maybe you give me a little more on Saturday, because I'm going to be hanging out with Steve West. Going to be out live 11 to 2 coming up on Saturday at Lake Point Sports. It's the Legends of the Spring weekend at Lake Point Sports as they welcome the Prep Baseball Open at the Baseball Village, soccer with the Elite Club National League, plus Paris Tournament Volleyball action and the Rise Hoops Basketball going on at the Champion Center. It's Sports Saturday live from Lake Point Sports in Emerson for the Legends of the Spring. Again, that's coming up Saturday, 11 to 2. And you can visit lakepointsports.com. And, hey, who knows, maybe we'll see you out there. Always fun when Steve and I get a chance to go and hang out there at Lake Point. But meanwhile, this afternoon, as you just heard DT mention, we've got the Braves in action. Big win for them as they take on the Astros, trying to get that sweep and trying to continue to build off of what they did last night, where you lose a guy like Albies. You've already lost for at least a period of time now three of your eight All-Stars, and yet you're leading your division. It doesn't seem to be phasing you yet. Now, again, one game without Albies, we'll see. But at the moment, it looks like they've got a plan with Harris moving up into the two spot. We'll see whether or not they keep him there when he's dealing with lefties, if that does not improve. Right now, 208 against lefties with only one extra base hit, but it's early. So maybe that's not the long-term answer. But for the moment, it looks like maybe it is that you move Harris up in the two spot, and then you got production out of the back three in your order yesterday. So you feel pretty good about it. And the Astros obviously show you you can have big expectations and just, for whatever reason, have a really lousy start. And instead, the Braves, even with some tough breaks with Murphy, Strider, and now this, the Braves just kind of keep it churning, and we'll see if they can get the sweep today. How about Ronaldo Lopez, though? One earned run total in three six-inning starts.
Awesome.
I mean, just anybody could have a good day. Maybe even two.
It was okay.
But three straight where you go six innings in modern baseball, that's impressive stuff. Remember, six innings with three earned runs allowed is considered a quality start. So if that's considered a quality start, what's three straight with one inning or with one run total allowed? I mean, look, is Ronaldo Lopez going to be able to keep this up? Of course not. I mean, that's Cy Young stuff. I know Mr. Negative over here, he's probably not going to go, 30 quality starts in a row. But this was a signing that when they made it, I think some people were kind of like, oh, really? You got to try and stretch him out, really? Because, I mean, look, Lopez has been a starter before, and he had some moments, but I don't think anybody ever looked at Ronaldo Lopez as a starter and thought he was upper echelon. He was a guy who was a prospect and had a lot of hype on him, but like a lot of prospects, didn't turn into something special. And at least so far here, he has been something special. Whether or not they've just unlocked something in him that maybe previous staffs were not able to do, or whether or not a month from now he'll come back to earth, maybe more than just the obvious that has to happen for anybody, because nobody maintains a pace like that. But at the moment, wow, that has been a way better signing than I think anybody could have imagined. Not as good right now, Aaron Bummer. But again, there's time. Last night, Bummer gives up a couple in the ninth. And so Iglesias actually does have to come in. You'd like to give him the day if you could, but he winds up having to come in to get that final out. Last year, Bummer's ERA with the White Sox was way out of whack with what he had done for much of his career, 6.79 ERA. And at least right now for this year, it's a 6.75 ERA. Again, really early, but you'd hope that maybe you could adjust and get him a little closer to what he has typically been. So a little bit of a negative there, but the Lopez performance is huge for sure. And so Braves trying to close things out today. Don't forget that we have introduced 680 The Fangirl. That is the brand new social media sports content that is tailored to the ladies. A little bit of content for the ladies. A little less X and O's and more lifestyle-driven sports content. 680 The Fangirl pages are curated expressly for our 680 female sports fans. So if you're one of them, then make sure you become a 680 The Fangirl today and follow us on Instagram and TikTok there.
Holler at your boy.
All right, so the Falcons, obviously, we mentioned at the start, they're in the news for something that has nothing to do with the current version of the Falcons. It's all about why Bill Belichick is not here and then what happens next. There was another thing that's come out, though, in the last couple of days. I think if you're a Falcon fan, could actually be a lot more important than that. Now, as noted, every projection for the Falcons, anybody does the mock draft these days, seems to involve them and defensive player, best one available, Dallas Turner. Boom, they take him.
Roll down tide.
And you keep it moving. And maybe that is exactly how it will go, although I'm just a skeptic because it almost never goes that way, that somebody at eight is universally projected and it happens. Either an opportunity presents itself and somebody moves up, or something else happens and a guy is there that nobody thought would be there and they decide to take him, or something else. So we'll see. But there has been increasingly speculation that the Raiders at 13 would like to get Michael Penix, which is so much higher than Penix was projected even a month ago. Now, if you've listened to Buck, you know Buck is a big advocate for Michael Penix. He thinks extremely highly of him, and clearly some teams do. The facts are, though, you're still talking about a guy who's had multiple knee injuries, and there are some legit questions. There's no doubt he can spin the ball. He did a good 40 run. That maybe helped some people who are nervous about his athleticism with the 40 time that he ran in his workout. But there's still definitely a question of whether or not Penix, especially being older than a typical quarterback, is he a first rounder? I don't think there's many people who had thought he could be anywhere close to this high a first rounder. Late 20s, maybe. 13? Wow. But here's the deal. Now that it's out there, now that the possibility is there that the Raiders genuinely are going to take him at 13, if that's what they want to do, if they have convinced themselves, look, we think Penix is, we'll say, the second or third best quarterback of the draft. We're not getting a guy who's number five just because that's where he's falling in the draft order. We're getting a guy we believe we would have wanted to take even if we had the third pick, not the 13th pick. If that's the case, then if you're a Falcon fan, maybe this opens up a new possibility for somebody willing to trade up. Because I think there's a lot of Falcon fans that look at eight and say, yeah, Turner wouldn't be a bad pick. There's nothing wrong with it. But is Turner so much better than, for example, Jared Verse, that you say, I'd rather have Turner at eight than Verse at 13, plus two more picks, maybe a pick for next year, a pick for this year, maybe a couple more for this year. I don't know that you would say that. And so if, for example, the Vikings at 11 have people concerned about the possibility that maybe they're going to take a quarterback, that they're going to take a Penix, yeah, maybe now you could coax the Vikings into trading up to eight to go ahead and just get their guy. But you could also possibly get a Raiders team to move up from 13 to eight to make sure they get their guy, especially if four quarterbacks have gone. And again, there continues to be a lot of belief that you're going to see somebody take J.J. McCarthy really early. And it's not necessarily what I'd recommend, but it's pretty clear that somebody is expected to do it based on all the reporting around the league. So I think if you're a Falcon fan, I think you'll get it because you're not going to take a quarterback. I know Brian Baldinger is a national analyst who has been pumping the idea that the Falcons might take a quarterback. We'll all believe that when we see it. You tell me you're going to take a quarterback in the third round or second round. Okay, I could buy that. But with a top 10 pick after signing Kirk Cousins, then following that with a quarterback, that's just really hard to believe. And I just don't think it would make a lot of sense for them to do it. But if they're not doing it, take advantage of somebody who is desperate. And there seem to be some teams that are increasingly getting more and more desperate. If you have to move down more than 3 to 5 spots, unless you just do a terrible deal, I think you'd be doing pretty well. I think the Raiders putting this out there as early as apparently it's getting out really opens a door for you. More on the draft in just a second, because there's some interesting stuff, I think, about some possibilities for some Georgia players that's worth getting into. Do need to tell you, though, First Horizon Bank and Double Play ATL are teaming up to give back. We're going to be collecting new and gently used baseball and softball equipment and giving back to local teams and organizations in need. Join Dylan Short live with 643, bringing new and gently used baseball and softball equipment. Sandy Plains Baseball at Harrison Park, Marietta, coming up Saturday between 9 and 11. That's this Saturday, Harrison Park, Marietta. Each person that donates receives a free car wash, compliments of Tidal Wave Auto Spa, and you're helping out people get a chance to enjoy baseball and grow with stuff that you're not using anymore. Why not take advantage of the opportunity to do something like that? So go by and see them again. That is coming up on Saturday. All right, so in Vegas, the Circa Hotel and Casino is a place that is pretty good when it comes to providing a lot of content on the sports betting front. And if you're curious about what the Dogs might do in the draft, for what it's worth, they have put out what they call over-under lines. And they have it in there, in the over-under lines, of what spot in the draft different guys might go. So, for example, J.J. McCarthy, they put it at 5.5. So you would bet on whether or not you think somebody is going to trade into the top five to take him or not. Or if you think there's a team like, I guess, Washington could just do it out of nowhere. So give yourself a second and think where you would believe they would have put the numbers for the following Falcon players. Brock Bowers, Amarius Mims, Ladd McConkey. Those are the three guys they've got numbers on the board. I'll give you a second to think about it while we start the Bulldog Beat.
The Fan's got a Georgia Bulldogs national champion on the beat.
25-20, Mark sideline, 15-10-5. Get in there! Touchdown!
This is the Bulldog Beat with Buck Ballew, presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union and attorney Ken Nugent.
All right, so you've had a second here. The folks at Circa have put the number for Brock Bowers at 11.5. You're going over or under. We'll say for purposes of the conversation that over, I don't know how they do it. For purposes of the conversation, we will say that over means before, not after, 11.5. Bowers, 11.5, over under.
Over.
DT's on over. Road Dog, what you got?
I would think under, but I'd have to look at the teams and what who would want to tight end.
I know the Jets have been linked to him a lot in people's mind, and they're trying to keep Aaron Rodgers happy. I would lean towards the idea he's going before 11.5. It's not a lock. I don't think I'm going to need to get on a plane to Vegas to make sure I can get my money in at Circa between next week and Thursday. But if I was standing there with some money burning a hole in my pocket, I think I'd lean to the idea he goes before 11.5. But there are certainly some who are skeptical on that, and Vegas has not given anybody any freebies. Meanwhile, Mims, what you got for Mims? 24.5 is where they put it. So will he go before pick 25 or not? Offensive linemen, it's so hard to know what teams think of them because you have teams that have a need and just force the issue sometimes, but then you also have teams that maybe feel like a guy doesn't fit their style that well. As good as Mims' talent is, you're still talking about a guy who has not started many games, who I think some teams might be a little reluctant to take quite that high. It feels to me like the kind of team that would take him at 20 is also the kind of team that would say, if we drop 7 spots, we could still get him. So I'm going to go after 24.5 as where he goes. Guys, you want to take a crack at that one?
That one's a toss-up for me. I'll go with you at the under. I've seen him going in the second round more than I thought. I would see.
I agree. I think he'll go over the... Am I saying these things right? I don't know. I think he'll go over the number projected.
So later than 24
yes.
and a half. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what they're using for their term, so we could just say on the backside. But 24 and a half is where they said it. So at least the folks in Vegas are clearly hearing some things that make them think Mims is going earlier in the first round. 24 and a half, the number for them. And our last one for the Dogs, Ladd McConkey.
Can't wait to hear this number.
32.5.
Ooh, so basically first round or not. Huh?
Is Ladd McConkey a first round pick or not?
Ooh.
I think there's some teams that really like him. What's interesting, though, too, is you can judge some guys by whether or not they've made visits to certain teams and so forth. I know there are some people in Charlotte who are very much hoping that the Panthers will take Ladd McConkey because they think it's exactly the kind of player that they need to try and get Bryce Young going. And they've got that first pick of the second round. They haven't had him in for a visit, though. They haven't been closely associated with him. So even though a lot of people there are saying he's a perfect fit, give me Ladd McConkey, at least publicly, the Panthers have not showed their hand.
You
to
don't
say they would be excited about that.
You don't expect that franchise to make a good decision here, do you?
No. In fact, if you look in that piece from earlier that we talked about, the ESPN lengthy piece that if you haven't heard about it again, check it out today if you are a Falcon fan about why Belichick didn't get the job. Just one of the little nuggets in that piece is that David Tepper, the Panthers owner, was interested in Belichick, but that he likes to go over the play calling and question his coaches. He likes to go through analytics and question his coaches' play calling and didn't think that would be a fit with Belichick. It's like, I don't think that.
Because he bought that team because he was so successful as a football coach, and that's why he ended up buying the team? Is that how that works?
He's an interesting dude, man. The thing about Tepper is, one, he is this hugely rich individual, second wealthiest guy, I believe, in the NFL now after the Broncos folks got their team, second wealthiest guy in the league, was a part of the Steelers organization as an owner, which is part of why he was selected as the person who would get the chance to run the Panthers, is that idea that, hey, he's already got some NFL experience. He knows what he's doing, and nothing about how he runs that organization is in any way like the Steelers at all. It's kind of amazing. You would look at them and say, well, if they are interested in McConkey, and again, everybody over there that's not publicly involved with the Panthers seems to be really into McConkey. You know, would you trade up those three picks, five picks, whatever, to get him if he was hanging around at the end of the round, if you really liked him? But, man, the idea of Ladd McConkey in a draft that is so loaded with receiver talent, the idea that somebody's going to take him first round, that's a little rich for my blood. I'm not saying he can't be worthy of a first-round pick, but how much have we seen in the last few years? You can get receiving talent, running back talent in the third round that is really productive. Investing a first-round pick in a wide receiver, even a late first-round pick in a wide receiver, you better be getting somebody you think is incredible. Has McConkey done enough that he is incredible as a prospect to some organization? That's hard for me to believe. So I'm going with early second for him, but not first for me. Derek, you got a call on this one?
Oh, that sounds just about right. Chuck Oliver has me convinced that the Chiefs are going to want to snag him in there at the end of the first round. So I'll give over just because that's such an exciting player.
All right, Road Dog, what you got?
The terms are really confusing me here. When after Derek,
just say after 32. Yeah, or not.
I think he'll be. I'm going to say it, this is my homerism showing here, but I want him to go in the first round, so I'm going to say under the 32.5. So he'll go be in a lesser number.
I was just doing what he told me when we started that we'd say over.
It was confusing me to the heck.
Yeah, but blame it on me if we confused anybody. But again, those are the numbers: 11.5, 24.5, and 32.5 for those guys in Vegas. So if you have something you like, then hit a plane or hit a buddy and get out there. Maybe you can make some money and root for your guy on draft night. A couple other quick things for the Bulldog beat. Wide receiver Tyler Williams is into the portal, was a four-star in last year's class, not expected to play a big role in 2024. And this is the kind of guy that maybe before would stick around, develop over a couple of years, turn into something. Now, if you're not seeing playing time fairly quickly, it's not surprising that guys look to hit the portal. So that's a name that moves in after they lost a tailback the day before. Also, a first name that I have seen Georgia associated with as supposedly expressing interest in as a prospect, Keandre Lambert-Smith, as of this morning, was considered the best wide receiver in the portal. That could change, obviously, over the next couple of weeks. But he was Penn State's leading receiver last year, 6'1", 184, and a guy that had 53 catches, 673 yards, 4 touchdowns last year. He's in the portal, and the Dogs, at least according to On3, have reached out to him. Again, where are his interests going to be? Some of the other teams reported to at least be early connections, Auburn, Texas A&M, Colorado, West Virginia. But that's the first kid I've seen the Dogs at least linked to as a name that maybe they might have some interest in. Also, if you are a Bulldog fan, pretty good chance you're going to pick up a new quarterback today. Findlay, Ohio quarterback Ryan Montgomery is going to announce a commitment today. Four-star player who is considered number 12 nationally at the quarterback position, listed as 6'3", 215. Montgomery's announcement is scheduled today for 3 o'clock, and it's not official that it's going to be the Dogs, but I could tell you that South Carolina, who has been recruiting this kid forever and really thought he was going to be their quarterback at 25, South Carolina fully expects him to be a Dog. So unless he's throwing them a curveball, and his visit that he was supposed to have with them was next week, so he was supposed to be in for their spring game, and now he's committing before that. He's visited them plenty, so I guess he could still on his own have just made up his mind and say, I'll come to the official visit as someone who is a commitment. He could, but every vibe seems to be that he's going to be Georgia's quarterback in the 2025 class. So again, 3 o'clock today, you'll get your answer on that. But sure sounds like Ryan Montgomery is looking like he's going to be a Dog. Hey, on sale now, Little Big Town. They're coming to Gas South Arena on December 12th. They're celebrating 25 years, Little Big Town, bringing their Take Me Home tour to Atlanta with special guest Sugarland and the Costellos. And tickets are going on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. Oh, I guess they're already on sale at Ticketmaster.com. It's a Little Big Town and special guest Sugarland and the Costellos. at Gas South Arena on December 12th, if you want to go and check that show out. And guess what? If you don't want to go to Ticketmaster.com, if you say, no, I don't roll like that, you give me those tickets. Okay, we'll do it. Road Dog, what caller should we say? Caller 680, that sound good?
We may be here for a while if I have to go that high.
I mean, that's just the way we roll here.
All right. Well, then, what do they call her six? That sound like a winner for you?
That sounds good, as long as we don't have to decide if that's over or under or before or after.
We're going to think about it.
We were not told there would be any math today for Road Dogg. So, yeah, be caller six right now, and you can win those tickets. If you can, give it a call and give it your best shot. All right, tonight, got the Hawks trying to do their best to advance in the NBA playoffs, to stay alive for another day. They're going to have a watch party tonight. 9:30 tip-off is the scheduled tip time, and it could easily be later, depending on how the game before goes. But 9:30 Eastern scheduled tip time tonight for the Bulldogs, or not the Bulldogs, hello, the Bulls and the Hawks tonight. 3.5-point underdogs in the game. Look, can they win? Sure, of course they can win. The Bulls are nothing spectacular, but is there ever a team in the history of Atlanta that has had less energy, less excitement for the idea of playoffs than the 36-46 Hawks with the injuries that they've got? I mean, sure, whatever, stay alive, why not? But I don't know that there's that many people who are saying, I wish I could get a little bit more of the Hawks. I'm not sure, even people who enjoy the Hawks, a couple more games in the arena wouldn't be bad, but I'm not sure there's that many people who are feeling it. Coming up tonight, though, if you are so inclined, you can go down there, maybe check out the game beforehand between Philadelphia and Miami, see who the Hawks' opponent would be, as the team that loses that game would be who the Hawks would see to try and get the 8 seed if they can get past the Bulls in the first place. But maybe check that out coming up tonight. All right, coming up on the other side, the Masters ratings took a tumble. I think that some people are mislabeling why that is. I'll explain coming up here on 6A The Fan, 937 FM.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Stretch here on the Buck Blue Show. Heath Klein in for Buck for today. Buck back in the mix tomorrow. Make sure that you stay connected to all the latest news and your favorite fan shows on the Fan app, sponsored by Beaver Direct. Beaver Direct, the fastest and easiest way to shop online for your next vehicle. Visit BeaverToyotaOfCumming.com, see what WOW really means, and download the Fan app now in the Apple app and Google Play stores. So yesterday the word came down, the Masters ratings dropped from what they were last year by 20%. Now, 9.589 million for the final round isn't nothing, but it's not what they were hoping for, and it's the lowest since 21 when Hideki Matsuyama won. And there are a lot of people whose take on this has been, this is what you got with all these guys with live golf and the money, and so the best players aren't on the tour on a regular basis, and people are sick of hearing about the whole thing, especially when the PGA Tour made live to be evil for a while, and then suddenly it was like, or we could just merge with them, and even that hasn't been worked out. There's a lot of people who blame that stuff, and I'm not going to say that's not a factor at all. Maybe for you it is a factor, but I think golf actually has a bigger problem than that, because Scottie Scheffler has shown he is by far at the moment the most consistent best player on the tour. The only question is he making putts? If he's making putts with the way he plays the rest of the time, he's probably going to win. And unfortunately, it doesn't seem like Scottie Scheffler is a very compelling guy. As a personality, people just don't seem to be drawn to Scottie Scheffler. Now, maybe that'll change. Maybe over time he'll reveal new and interesting layers about himself. But right now, he's just kind of a golf robot out there doing his thing, doing it really, really well. So the people who are hardcore golf aficionados are going to appreciate what Scheffler's doing. But you can be great and have people not have a lot of reaction to you, and it makes a difference. And think about one guy here, for example, Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan was an NFL MVP. Matt Ryan had a wonderful career with Atlanta. But Matt Ryan was not a guy that nationally got a lot of attention. It just wasn't a polarizing figure. Go through the quarterbacks right now in the NFL. How many of them do you have an opinion on? Not just, that guy's good or that guy's not good, but an opinion on them as a guy. Like, people have a feeling, a distinct feeling about someone like a Deshaun Watson for pretty obvious reasons. But even a guy like Baker Mayfield, he's been through some stuff. He's kind of scrappy. I like that guy. Or, that guy's kind of an arrogant punk or whatever. People have opinions on a lot of NFL quarterbacks. Did anybody ever have a negative opinion about Matt Ryan out anywhere? I mean, maybe a Saints fan's like, I don't like the Falcons, so I don't like Matt Ryan. But him as a guy, did anybody ever have a negative opinion? Probably not. But was anybody ever really into Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan was just, he was steady and good and nothing to dislike about him at all. I think people have more of a feeling for Matt Ryan with his broadcast work than they ever had for him when he was playing. But you can be a great player and just not have a personality that is polarizing or connecting with people. Go look at NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson was an incredible competitor in NASCAR. How many people had strong feelings about Jimmy Johnson, though, even all those years he won championships, compared to guys like Kyle Busch that they can't stand or that they love? If golf has a guy who is the quote-unquote new Tiger, but unlike Tiger, he doesn't have anything about him that people get excited about and react to, and week after week, if he's playing, he's probably going to be right there at the top of the board, but the people who aren't just obsessive golf fans are reacting. And I don't know. I think they've got a bigger problem. I'm not sure solving the live stuff is going to fix that. And I think that's what this might be more about. All right, time for the final word here on the program.
Time for the final word. Brought to you by Howard Brothers, keeping Georgia green since 1955.
Look, being a broadcaster is not the easiest job, but you don't have to say everything that pops into your mind. And last night, we had one of the more bizarre comments by a color analyst we have had in a while on the NBA broadcast last night. It is a three-point game. Player is shooting a free throw with 2.7 seconds left. Do you want him to make it or not? The answer is yes, 100% of the time. Except Reggie Miller thought we needed to debate that for some reason.
There's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one, knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast, because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over? These are things that are discussed as team.
That doesn't make sense.
I don't believe anyone discussed that. If you're up four with 2.7 seconds left, you win. If you're up three with 2.7 seconds left and they have the ball, you might not win.
It's like last night in the ninth inning with the Braves. I wasn't sure if they should have scored that fourth run because the three-run lead felt so good. I wasn't sure about a four-run lead.
You really didn't need a team to solve the puzzle on that. Reggie Miller, man, I don't know what's going on there. Hey, all season when the Braves hit a home run, you'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only at Tire Discounters. Plus, you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at Tire Discounters. Learn more at tirediscounters.com/Braves. And, of course, the Braves are coming up. In just a little bit, you have got Chiellini and Domino coming your way in the next couple of minutes. They'll take you right up to the Ford Leadoff Show at 12:55. Want to say thanks, of course, to Derek Thomas and to Adam Gillespie, the Road Dog, for keeping me company this morning. Thanks for hanging out. Nick and Chris coming up here on 6A The Fan, 93.7 FM. Buck back tomorrow.
Thank you, Buck.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.